Well, are you excited this morning? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. You know, I pray that you have discovered joy and the essence of God and His presence, and that you are able to know Him in an intimate and powerful way. One of the things that we are striving to do here is to help everyone be prepared for the days that we live in, that we would be able to be equipped in order to, with a right mind and a right focus, carry out the very call of God, that we would be able to be the examples that God has called us to be. And certainly as we study the Word of God, as we look through the scripture, it tells us that in the last days, things will become more and more evil. Evil will increase. And we see that as it's literally unfolding before us every day. And it seems that when we're kind of laissez-faire, as we kind of lay back and kind of go through our daily routine, we kind of try to put blinders on to just get through our daily responsibilities as normally as possible. But that's not always something we can do as the people of God. And sometimes there is a time to rise up. There is a time to intervene, and there's a time to take action and to do things. And we must be able to balance those decisions out as we navigate through the challenges that this world presents. And every generation has its challenges. Every generation has its difficulties. And each generation is in a position where God can lead them and see them through. And it all comes down to, what is your mindset? What is your focus? And as we go through the Word of God, one of the things that stands out to me is how important it is to be dependent on God. To be dependent on God. And that's not just to say, well, you know, I'm trusting God to give me what I need in order to live and do what I have to do. But that's in a sense where God speaks, we hear, and we do what God calls us to do. And as we're going along, God speaks again and He says, stop that and shift and do this, or whatever it is that needs to be done. There's this interaction, there's this exchange between you and God. And each individual, each person of Christ has to have this kind of relationship. We have to be able to hear the Spirit of the Lord and follow His direction. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? And so, in fact, the New Testament equivocates the love of God with how well you apply biblical principles in your life, and how well and how much we keep His commandments. And so it really doesn't matter whether we try to convince ourselves and others whether or not we love God or not. That is evident in the things that we actually do. And when we apply biblical principle in our lives, it is a demonstration of where and what our faith is in. And this is why life is so interesting, and God is the great equalizer, because we can fool each other and we can fool ourselves even, but we cannot fool God. And God knows the essence of what's in the heart of each and every individual. And that is why it's so important for us to commune with God, so that we can hear the voice of the Spirit of God. He is our sole proprietor. He is the owner of our souls. It is our soul that has eternal value. And God came so that we would be able to live a life that is reflective of Christ. which is the living word. He is the word made flesh. And ultimately, your goal and my goal is also to become the word made flesh. And what that means is that we live according to the principles of God's word. Everything has a purpose for God to use in order to bring about the very essence of the kingdom of God. And that's who we are. We represent to the world what it really means to be a Christian. And so it's not just a religion, it's not just something you believe in, but it's an experience that impacts your way of life. And it affects the way we think and see things because the Spirit of God is a real entity. He is alive. He is working. He is moving. And he dwells within us. Hallelujah. Well, let me qualify that. He dwells within those who are born of the Spirit of God. He dwells within those who are born again, as Jesus put it in John chapter 3. Not just those who believe, but those who have been reborn. And that is the key to eternal life. It's the life of the Spirit of God being imparted to us. Otherwise, you're just religious. Otherwise, you're going to live your life based on how you feel and your limited perspectives and ability to see and discern things. But there's always more to the story. No matter what the story is, there's always more to the story. And there's always going to be things you don't know and that you don't understand. And when you understand that, it helps us be drawn closer to God. It helps us to become more dependent on God, because nothing can be hidden from him. Nothing can cause him to be thrown off or dismayed in any way. God is fully aware and fully able and fully capable of helping you and me to overcome and navigate through challenges, hardships, and difficulties. And the awesome thing about serving God is he gives us the resources that we need in order to make it through life in a way that supernaturally enables us to demonstrate the power of God. Hallelujah. In that, his attributes arise up and through us and are presented to those that we interact with, not only by the very spirit in which we're operating, but even as we are working and doing what we do, there is this resilience and this ability to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. A lot of times we as Christians, we underestimate the importance of the fruit of the Spirit. And that is why I talk about it so much. It's because it is really quintessential to understanding what is happening in your own life. The more the fruit of God is being manifested, the more God is using you and enabling you as you go through life. The lower your ability to operate in the fruit of the Spirit, the more you are distant from God and the more you need to press in. And there's like a gauge. And you will know better than anybody else how you are really doing. You have the ability to read your own gauge. You see, people from the outside can't always tell what's happening within you. And so we are reading our own gauges, and when we're aware of that, we know that God is at work in us, or not. And it's so important for us to be honest with ourselves as we are honest and open before everyone else around us. And so we are unique people as the children of God, as the people of God. We have been marked with favor. We're born into favor like a newborn baby, born into a household with a loving family and a parents that really genuinely care for them. That's how God presents himself to us and how he watches over us to protect us. And so our lifetime goal is to learn how to yield to the love of God so that we can allow him to give us direction and navigate us through the challenges of life as the owner or the proprietor of our souls. That is a picture of the favor of God. The favor of God is that God cares enough about us that he is reaching out to try to get a hold of us, to keep us like a child that's running and doing all the things that children like to do. They want to play and enjoy life all the time. And that never really changes. As we grow older, we just play with different things and in different ways. And God is still reaching out to corral us in, to keep us from hurt, harm, and danger. And the challenge is that the hurt, harm, and danger is not the type that we can see or hear and know in the world that we're seeing or interacting in. It is a danger that exists in the spirit realm. And that danger in the realm of God, in the spirit realm, is a very danger that impacts or causes what we see and know and experience in the natural realm to be what it is. Therefore, if you gain power and authority, wisdom, and a sense of yieldedness to God's direction, you will not only overcome in the spirit realm, but in your natural life, you will see the manifestations of the fruit of God. Hallelujah. That's what we are talking about here. This is what we are trying to help the congregation and those who are interacting with us or listening or watching in this digital media realm. This is what is happening. And when you hear and are sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, hear me carefully, the Spirit of God will give you divine direction, and he will enable you to live a life that is lifted up, that is victorious in your natural setting, because you have tapped in to the right dynamics of the Spirit of God so that his word can refresh and renew you and cause you to have a different life experience than what you see on TV or than what you hear in other forms of news media or what is even going on in other people's lives that you interact with at work or in the community. And so it's so important for us to learn how to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his people, to the church. And so we're going to begin here in Psalm chapter 5. And Psalm 5 is going to be our base today. And I'm going to kind of go through this a little bit and talk about how to accomplish these things so that you can overcome the deceptions of this world and be able to walk in the power and the strength of God. Hallelujah. So Psalm 5:12, our key verse for today, says, "For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield." Hallelujah. You surround him with favor as a shield. Glory to God. And so I would like to use as a theme today, maintain the shield of favor. Hallelujah. Maintain the shield of favor. When we are born of the Spirit of God, when we come into relationship with God, we enter into a place of favor with God, a place of divine love and covering, and where the Lord takes ownership of us and even takes possession of us, and we surrender ourselves to him. And as a result, God, he pours out all of himself into us and over us and around us, and he covers us like a shield. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, join me as we pray. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And I pray, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of us, enable us, and give us what we need as a resource so that we would operate under the manifold wisdom of God, manifest wisdom of God. And that the glory of God would show up in the midst of us so that we would be able to overcome and even transcend in this world in a way that God is being glorified, where the Spirit of the Lord is being raised up in the midst of us, where the anointing is breaking or destroying yokes of bondage, first in our own homes and then out into the communities and places where we go under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. We pray, oh God, for a fresh anointing and an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that your glory would move in the midst of us. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, oh God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, we need to maintain this shield of favor. We need to operate with an understanding that God, in as a spirit, as the spirit, is really the one who covers us. He makes a way for us. Everything we do, we're in the bubble of the Spirit of God. That is something that we must always remember. And as a result, we are communing with God. We must always be in a state of mind where when God speaks, we can hear him. Hallelujah. I remember that old investment group. It was E.F. Hutton, right? You remember them? You know, back in the day when E.F. Hutton speaks? Right. Everybody listens. Exactly. And that is the way we have to live our lives, that when God speaks, everybody listens. We need to be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. But to get to that place, because in our natural state, we don't have that wherewithal, that mindset to be able to even tune to the frequency that God is on. Many times we've talked about how God being a spirit represents frequency, and frequency tying in the sense from the biblical sense that God is light and in him there is no darkness, and he is the sound of thunders and lightnings. And we've talked about that, you know, everywhere from Genesis and Exodus through Revelation. You see this picture of God as a frequency, and God is operating on a divine frequency. And when we are living this digital life, this digital world that we're in, everything is on a frequency. Everything is on a frequency. And it's amazing how everything not only is being transmitted and communicated on frequencies nowadays, but even the hardscapes are tied to frequencies. And this is how Jesus is able to go through walls and how he was able to show up in one place and go from another, because he had the ability to operate in the divine frequencies, the frequencies of God that hold the universe together. That's why the scripture says if one jot or one tittle were to fall away from the word of God, heaven and earth would fall away, would disappear, would be not exist. And that's how faithful and reliable the word of God is, because it's by his word that everything is held together. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. But in essence, it is that frequency of God that he has given us so that we would be able to operate in the divine frequency, so that we would be able to modulate ourselves in such a way that we would be able to pass through life. Pass through life like Jesus came through a wall, like God showed up in the fire. for Moses and all of the different examples that we see, how the Lord is able to show himself in creation and in the creative ways. It's all by the Spirit of God. And your life and my life is by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, your emotions are going to rule you. And everything you do will be based on how you feel and what you think, as if your mind was totally renewed in God. And so we cannot trust the way we feel, and we cannot trust the way we think. And that is why we need the letter of the word to speak to us, so that we will be guided into a place where the Spirit of the word comes alive through us. And so we have to walk in this relationship with God, this place of favor. And so as we see in Psalm 90, it says, verse 15, make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. And so the psalmist here is laying out, Moses is saying here, God, make us glad. The language that he's using is very interesting, because it shows that God has the ability to make you glad. Hallelujah. God controls how much gladness is throttled through you. Hallelujah. And he says that it's to give us gladness according to the degree to which we've experienced evil and challenges and hardship and difficulty. For some of us, that's a whole lot of gladness, isn't it? Hallelujah. Have you been through a lot in life? Have you been through all kinds of challenges? Well, God is able to give you gladness that parallels or even exceeds the extent of evil that you've endured. Hallelujah. And so this is a gift from God. This is a work of the Spirit of God. He says, let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. The works of God, the majesty of God. Let it appear to the children. Hallelujah. He says, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. We need God to confirm the work of our hands. We need God to show that he is in the midst of us. In essence, he is asking God to bless the works of our hands, the things that we do. Let it be fruitful in the sight of God. Let it come alive. And so this is an important foundation, as we see what David now is saying here in Psalm 5. This passage, and I'm going to read through it so you can get a feel for the whole psalm. It says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. Okay, pause here for a second. Very important, meet with God in the morning. Do you see that? David is meeting with God in the morning. And throughout the scriptures, men of God that God has given us as examples, whether it's Daniel or David or whoever, very often you see they spend time with God. You see, who you honor first will determine what happens with the rest. It's a biblical principle. It's like the principle of tithing. What you do with the first of your resources will determine what happens to the rest. If you honor God with your first, then the rest is blessed. But if you do not, and if you honor, I don't know, the government, or you honor, you know, buying food or clothes, or you honor doing some other thing with your resources, and then you offer to God afterwards, or second, or third, or fourth down the list, then that will rob you of the blessing of God over the whole. Because God operates in the same manner as we saw with Cain and Abel. Either your offering is acceptable or it is not quite acceptable. And so the blessing is on how faithful you are with the first of what you have. And when you put God first, everything else is, the blessing of God will overtake. God will bless what that is. So maintaining the favor of God begins by, in the morning, you meet with God and you say, God, here I am today. Your will be done, not my will. You pray and you commune with God, anything, something, but you're in a relationship with God. Start your day with God. Start your day with God. He says, you will hear my voice in the morning. I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. Second principle here is after we commune with God, we pay attention. We listen for the Spirit's direction. We listen and we look for God's opportunities so that we would be able to be used of God to either speak to someone or a situation or to help someone or whatever the need may be. We are eagerly watching for God to show up so that we would be able to do something. Life is about what you do. Life is about what you do. And so as we do the things that the Word of God directs us to do, we will have an experience that represents the kingdom and the power of God. And so in verse 4, he goes on. He says, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. Do you see that? Not in you, not around you, dwells. I'll back it up. No evil dwells with you. Hallelujah. I guess it didn't. There it is. Okay. No evil or no wickedness. God does not take pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. And so that means that God is fair and he is just and he is always watching out to accomplish what is right. Hallelujah. And it's so important. Many times, especially in the Psalms, you see where David talks of the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is not just that David or anyone else is right all the time, but what it talks about is really it's the favor of God. It's being in that place where God is just. It's about the just. God knows how to handle things fairly and justly. And often that word translated righteous is often having to do with how God interacts in a dependable way. You can trust in him. You can know that he will do or handle things rightly or correctly or in a way that is going to be represent the goodness of God. And so he says in verse 5, the boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house at your holy temple. I will bow in reverence for you. And now this verse is a picture of submitting to the will of God, submitting to the word of God. And this is what we all have to learn to do because it doesn't come natural to us. Well, primarily, we don't even know what the will or the word of God says or is in any given situation. So it forces us to a place where we say, God, guide me. God, direct me. God, help me. Because we don't always know. You might have memorized the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You can probably quote chapter and verse of all kinds of stuff. But how do you know you're appropriating the right verse to the right situation and circumstance? Even if you know all the scripture, you don't necessarily know how to rightly appropriate it. You hear some people say eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and then you hear other people say turn the other cheek. Well, which situation is it? Because they're both from the Word of God. And so we have to know how to rightly divide the word of truth, right? Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy talks about that. And that is what the Holy Spirit will do. He will teach you all things and lead you or guide you in the way that we need to go. But in order for that to happen, you have to have a relationship. So in the morning, we're meeting with God and we're saying, God, guide me through this day. Lord, order my steps. Lord, help me. Whatever it is, we're acknowledging him in all of our ways so that he can direct our path, right? Proverbs. And so it's so important to apply these principles, because if you don't, you're going to end up like the world. And you're going to operate in the same ways the world operates on, and you'll be on the wrong frequency. You'll be broadcasting on the wrong channel. And then you'll say, where is God? Oh, God, God is not with us. Oh, God, help us. They're not hearing my prayer. God is not listening. And all of these things. Why? You're on the wrong channel. And if you're on the wrong channel, if you're on the wrong frequency, then guess what? You don't have any communication. You can go breaker, breaker, 1-9. Come in, come in. Remember those days? Remember that? But if you're on channel 1-7 and you're yelling breaker, breaker, 1-9 looking for somebody, guess what? You're not going to get them, right? If you're dialing a number and you're one digit off on the phone number, you don't get the person you want, you get somebody else. And that's how it is in our walk with God. That's why Jesus said there is a way that seems right to men, but in the end, it's the way of destruction. Because all you need to do is be one digit off, one number off, one frequency off. And if you're off, you're just off. And the only way to get right with God is to get on the right channel. And when we get on the right channel, God begins to change our lives. He begins to transform us. He begins to do amazing things. And so often people make decisions that are one channel off. They're one frequency off. They should be on 7 and they're on 6. Hallelujah. And so because of that, they swear they're doing the right thing, but then when they have bad results or things don't go the way they expected or wanted them to go, and then they say, well, where is God? Or, well, what happens? Oh, I tried the Lord. Oh, yeah, I tried God. Well, I tried serving Jesus, and I tried to pray. I tried to do. You did all of those things, and you were a couple of digits off. Some people are more than one digit off. Some of them are just the whole band off. And so it is important for us to understand that we have to be in a place of yieldedness to God. He says, as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. Not come to my house, Lord. I will enter your house. Now we're living in the day of coronavirus. People are saying, come to my house, Lord. Come to my house. I can't leave. I can't leave. God says, come to my house. We come to the Lord's house. And when you are able to grab hold of that power, because there's a power in coming to the Lord's house that you will not experience if you don't apply the principle. And so he says, it's by his abundant loving kindness. It's because of the love of God. It's because of the way God designed the world, the universe to function, that is why we have to apply these principles, because it's based on divine design, not human intellect, not human understanding. And so it goes on and he says, at your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you. Oh Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. Hallelujah. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with the tongue. Hallelujah. Sounds like politicians. He goes on and he says in verse 10, he says, hold them guilty, O God. By their own devices, let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against you. Hallelujah. So here is David now. He is asking God to intervene against the ungodly. He's asking God to rise up so that he would be able to operate in his defense. But he's able to do that because he met with God in the morning. Because he spent time with God in the morning. And when you honor God with your first fruit of the day, or the first fruit of whatever comes to you, then you have the ability to walk and commune with God because of the promises of God. And even when you have challenges and difficulties, when the bad things start happening in your life, you can rise up and declare your righteousness before God. Why? Because you did what God asked you to do. And not only did you do what God asked you to do, you did it the way God has directed us in his word to do it. And because you did things rightly according to God, you could say, but God, I did all that you have asked me to do. Help me overcome these rebellious people, situations, circumstances. Help me to overcome. And so here we see the favor of God being implemented or being tapped into the favor of God. It's like you go to someone's house and you go in their refrigerator and just grab whatever you need and start eating, right? You ever have that happen? Right? Don't you scratch your head and go, what the? Why are they doing that? Why? Because they don't have that kind of favor, do they? Right? They don't have that kind of favor. Listen, we're good friends and all, we're not, but it's just weird to have somebody come into your house who's a visitor or a guest and just go in and start eating things out of the cabinet and the refrigerator. They don't say anything, man, I'm just hungry. Hey, you know, you come, what are you doing? Well, I was looking for something. Well, you know, you could, yeah, just ask, you know, let me know. I'll prepare and we'll do whatever, you know, you have to do. You know, it's a shame that somebody would invite you over and not have anything to eat anyway, right? That's a whole nother thing, you know, but at least then when they get there, you know, you don't take it upon yourself to come in, you know, unless you're a member of the household. Now it changes, right? If you're a son, if you're a daughter, if you're a parent, if you're somebody who has a relationship with the homeowner, with the house, you then, the greater that relationship, the more liberty you have in the house. Isn't that right? Right? So when you see your children going in the refrigerator, you don't really think too much about it because they live there and you figure they're always going in the refrigerator. And because you're aware that your children are always going in the refrigerator, you have a little hiding place for things you don't want them to find. Isn't that right? Yeah. Is that just my house? No, I don't think so, right? So you know, God has, he is aware, and when we commune with God, when we talk to God, God navigates us through the day. He helps us to overcome. It goes on, it says, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. What? Let all who take refuge go into the house of God, right? We go to God's house. God doesn't come to ours. We enter into God. And it says, you will be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. In other words, God is going to give you a song. You'll have a song. And this is an assumption here that's being taken. It says, all who take refuge in you will be glad. And then it says, let them ever sing for joy. And may you shelter them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, we're going to look at this. This is very important. It goes on, it says, for it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. Oh, when you belong in the house, you have liberty and you have protection and you have the hand of God operating in the midst of you. You have God's glory. Hallelujah. In fact, going back to verse 11, it says, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Hallelujah. Do you take refuge in God? Oh, what does that even mean? What does that even mean? Hallelujah. I'm thinking, wow, well, praise God, we're going to take refuge. And that is important because when there is warfare going on and there's all types of evil at work all around you and the evil is coming against you, you need to have a place of safety. And so he says, let them ever sing for joy. And so this is important because this word for joy is the word ranan, right? And that word, it means to give a ringing cry, to cry out, even a shrill, like a sound. So that means you don't even have to be a good singer. You could just make a noise, right? You get the idea of making a joyful noise unto the Lord. But the idea is that something is causing you to make a sound of joy, something that comes from God. Hallelujah. And this term is important because it's the result of something happening. It's the result. It's a cause and effect. When you're entering into the shelter of God, when you're in the refuge of God, it ought to cause you to ranan, hallelujah, to cry out, to shout unto God. It's this reverberating, like exuberant cry out to God that you would even give a shout of elation, right? And so that means this, that's what joy is. That's why, you know, Christmas time is coming. You know, you see everybody saw Home Depot selling Christmas trees already, right? You know, all that. You see, it's the joy season. Why? Because people need to get to joy quick. So they're trying to grab hold of, they're grabbing Christmas and pulling it into October. Hallelujah. And they're like, yes, we need joy. We need a reason to celebrate, to have hope. Well, when you meet with God in the morning and God is directing you through the day, he will start to create a ranan within you. There'll be a ringing within you. There'll be a vibrating frequency that will cause you to cry out and to give a shout of elation. Hallelujah. I tell you, every once in a while, you're going through your day and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will say, hey, how you doing? And you'll be like, yes, I'm good. Hallelujah. People will look at you and go, what is wrong with you? What are you doing? And it's the Spirit of God vibrating within you, ringing within you, so that you can't even hold it back. You're caused to have a shout. He goes on and he says, and may you shelter them that those who love your name may exalt in you. Ooh. You know, that's one of those King James words, right? Exalt in you. That always makes you sound spiritual. May the exaltation of God arise in you, right? It's one of those dignified words. Well, we want God to exalt in you. It sounds so cool. We don't really know what it means, but we like the way it sounds. And we want that. Yeah, that's right. I need some exalting. I need that. Hallelujah. And so what is that? What is it? Well, it's something that God does. In verse 12, it says, for it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as a shield. And so God is surrounding us with his favor as a shield as he exalts us. And it's so important to be lifted up, to be lifted up in God. It means to have a living faith, which means that you always win. In fact, the word for exalting or for lifting up, it means to all of a sudden to have your identity established in God that will cause you to have your countenance, your experience, your feelings, everything will be lifted up. That's what it means to be exalted. To be exalted, something within you, because of the ringing of the joy of the Lord, will cause you to be lifted up. Hallelujah. You see, the world oppresses and pulls down. But the Spirit of God ringing within you, that work of the Spirit, lifts you up. Hallelujah. And that can happen anywhere, anytime, in any way. The Spirit of God will rise up in you. And when evil comes in against you, you know that you have committed this day to God, so you have already won. Hallelujah. You've already won. You will always win, no matter what the outcome is, because the Lord is being glorified in your procession through the day. Because you are walking with God. You are walking in God. And you are walking by the Spirit of God. And so God is your shield. Hallelujah. He is your cover. Hallelujah. And that's why praying after the fact is really too late, isn't it? It's like, God, could you fix that thing that's busted? Well, it's busted. Get a new one now. You can, that's just shot. So God wants us to know that his desire is not to fix old and busted stuff or stuff that's been abused or taken advantage of or wrecked or ruined. God says, I can keep it from getting broken in the first place. So I can add and breathe longevity into what you already have. You see, God wants you to have longevity. He wants everything you have to have life in it. It will continue to have life. I sold my car not long ago, and the guy who bought it, he said to me, he called me up after he got it home, and he driven it up and down the highway to test it. You know, you have to do these things. And he calls me up. He says, this is an amazing car. He said, this car is great. I can't believe it. It's like a brand new car. And I'm thinking, man, the car is 13 years old and had 150-something miles on it, 56,000 miles on it. And yeah, I took care of it. I maintained it. But that, I thought, I said, that is the life of God. Because when I get in my car, I don't know what other people do, but when I get in my car, I say, Holy Spirit, breathe in this vehicle. And I pray, because I learned that from an old lady at a church in the city when I was down there. I said, always pray when you touch the key to start the car. And I learned to always pray when I touch the wheel. And I say, Spirit of God, move upon me in this car. Breathe upon this car. Give this car longevity. Let it last and let it work and function under the Spirit of God. And I play spiritual music in the car. I try to find the most anointed music I can. I do. I really do. I try to find, I try to listen to something that's going to bring the presence of God, the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, because I make the car a holy sanctuary. And I say, yeah, I want this to be a place where the Spirit of God dwells so that it can have longevity, right? Because we all know how expensive car problems are. And that's the last thing you need when you're on a budget, right? So I need the interventions of God. So no matter what we're doing, no matter what we have, the Spirit of God working in us gives us this inner victory so that we can have the assurance that God is with us and that we're already victorious. You see, it's the anointing. It's the anointing. I'm surprised at how many Christians do not know the anointing. They don't know. They know the word. They've heard it. They've heard about it. They even talk about it, and they understand the reality of it, but they've never felt it stirring within. And that is a problem. That's a huge problem. Because you need to know the Spirit of God, the anointing of God. And that only comes through communing with God. You have to spend time with God. You have to get to know Him. He pours Himself into you. He begins to fortify you. He strengthens you. He moves within you. There is a stirring from within that causes joy to come up out of you. Hallelujah. The Ranan of God, the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, stirring within you in every circumstance, no matter what it is. G. Arthur said, because the Lord's providence is absolutely meticulous, believers can rejoice in every scene of life, no exceptions. Here, they rejoice as the Holy Spirit rejoices inside of them. Hallelujah. In other words, as the Spirit of God within you goes, so you go. Hallelujah. And so if the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and all of that stuff, then so are you.
Why?
Because he's stirring. There's a renown of God, and the joy frequency is ringing. And you could be in the worst of circumstances, but inside you have divine assurance. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God. Oh, he moves on us. He breathes on us. Oh, the power of God. He says in verse 12, "For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield." Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, that means no weapon coming at you can actually get to you, because there's a shield of God's Spirit, of the frequency of God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You can't even watch a modern day sci-fi movie, high tech, you know, where they're flying around in space and they're in the midst of the battle and they say, "Shields up, shields up." That's in the morning. When you get up, you say, "Holy Spirit of God, oh God, I thank you for another day. Oh, shields up, hallelujah. Shields up, Lord. Oh, I need the Spirit of God. I need your presence. God, go before me. Oh, God, I just want to acknowledge you. Oh, as I rise this morning, I give this day to you." And as we go out, there's a divine stirring within. You start to feel the stirring of the Spirit of God. And if you had spent time in the Word of God, you just open it up. Maybe you open the Orange County Gospel Fellowship app on your phone and you listen to the Word of God and you meditate on it. Let it, as it reads to you, the scripture for the day. And all that word comes to you, takes a few minutes, not very long at all. And you spend time with God and you pray and you say, "God, let this word dwell in me richly today. Spirit of God, go before me." Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And then you go to school. You go to work, you go wherever you go out there to do whatever you gotta do. And you're able to blast through Corona and you could get through all this stuff. You could get through the flu. You could get through all this craziness that's happening. You get through chaos and confusion. You can get through hatred. You can get through all this kind of negativity and evil because something is stirring within you. Oh, there's a Spirit of God at work. There's an anointing of God at work. And he is able to navigate you through. And he is enabling you to understand that you are more than a conqueror. Why? Because Christ has conquered for you. He has conquered from within you. He has conquered all around you. And everything about you is victorious. Hallelujah. Because you apply the principles of God in your life. Now, if you don't do this, you're on your own. Sorry, but that's just all there is to it. And you get whatever the world gets. So there are benefits of life in God. There are benefits of life in God, of being a child who lives in God. In Psalm 91, we see that it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." You notice how big that W is in will? That's a big W right there. That's assurance. You know, you will. It's like gravity. You drop it, it's going down. It will. If you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, don't try to get God to come to you. Don't try to get God to bless what you're doing. You get into God and go where the blessing is. You need to be where the source of the Spirit of God is. And that is in the shelter of the Most High. Then you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. God's shadow will be with you. Remember, Peter was able to walk by his shadow, was healing people. The shadow, it's a powerful thing. Just the shadow of God can handle whatever we got going on. The shadow, it blocks the sun so you can see. Isn't that right? When the shadow comes, that means there's something blocking the sun so that you can see clearly. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you understand how important it is to be in the shadow, in the shelter of God. He goes on and he says, "For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence." because life is spiritual. There are demonic, evil forces that control human beings. They work in people and through people. And the Spirit of God is able to help you to overcome those demonic strategies, those satanic workings of the realm of the spirit, so that you can overcome. It's the snare of the trapper. Satan is trying to snare you, and he is trying to get you to be caught up and focused on the wrong thing. And this last line is very interesting. And from the deadly pestilence. Ooh, that stood out to me. Does that stand out to you? Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, I'm getting into the shelter real quick. I need the shadow real quick. And if you have a spiritual mind, then you will be able to apply this principle so that God can sustain us. God has the power to keep us from deadly pestilence. You ever think about that? Now, what if coronavirus, what if coronavirus is a pestilence that God is allowing to happen in order to make a point? How many of us are in the right place so that this verse would apply to us? Now, whether people believe in that or not, that's a whole other thing, but I can assure you it is a thing. And it is the kind of thing that happens in Scripture. And if it happens in Scripture, then that means it could possibly happen today. And so as a result of that, the key to this really would be to make sure you're in the shelter of the Almighty, at least operating under the shadow of God. Hallelujah. Because if you're wrong and it's not, then you've got nothing to lose. But if you're right, and that is what's happening, then glory to God, because now you're in the right place for divine protection and cover. God will watch over you. And these are the kinds of things we have to think about in the last days. These are the kinds of things that we have to begin to apply in our lives. Verse 4 says, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. God has the ability to block whatever may come your way. He has a way to cover us. He has a way to enable us, to sustain us, and to cause us to be lifted up. He says, you will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day. And so when the enemy is waging war, and certainly there's a war going on in our society today, and it's a spiritual war, by the way, that I'm sure of 100%. There is a spiritual war taking place in American culture and the cultures of the world today. And this is why it's important to be spiritually tapped in, so the Spirit of God and the anointing of God can stir within you so that you don't get sucked into the spirit of the world. So you know that the entire world is working to promote evil. The entire world is working to promote evil and to bring people's spirit down. And when your spirit is brought down, then fear comes in, and then you can have control, because it is by fear that people are controlled by demonic forces. That is why the Word of God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But it's a gift. It's that God gives us. And he says he is giving it so that we will be able to overcome. We will, even because there's a stirring that is beyond you. It's beyond me. God is alive in you. And when God starts going, you start going, all of a sudden, you start to sense the move of God even from within you. And the awesome thing about it is when you get with other people that are operating under the anointing and the Spirit of God, you can feel the connection. It's like the spirit that's within me reaches out and grabs hands with the person who is operating in the spirit likewise. And when we come together, all the spirits of those who are operating in God connect, and we become one powerful force in the power and the presence of God. And the anointing of God increases. And this is why Satan does not want you to come to church. He doesn't want you in the house of the Lord. He doesn't want you in the place where you can connect with other spirit-filled people. You see, you might be able to do that at home if your kids are operating in the spirit under the anointing, your husband, your wife, your all the people that are in that house with you. If everybody's operating under the fullness of the Spirit of God and they're all operating under the anointing, then you can have a powerful experience in God. But if they're not and they're lacking in any way, you need to be able to connect with people who are operating in the fullness and the power of God. And it's that anointing, that stirring of God that we need in order to be able to overcome. Otherwise, the spirit of darkness will tap into your emotions and cause you to respond to whatever is happening in a way that is contradictory to the way of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And so, verse 7 says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, this is why you need to be in the Spirit. This is why you need to operate in the right frequency. You could be one digit off and you'll have no experience. You need to operate tapped into God. You need to apply biblical principles. Be conscious of the move in the Spirit of God. Verse 8 of Psalm 91 says, you will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Hallelujah. Recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. He says, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. Glory to God. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And this is a messianic verse, right? Jesus actually had this exchange with Satan when he was being tempted in the Mount of Temptation. And this is what Satan said to Jesus. Because this is what Satan not only does to Jesus, he does it to all of those who are faithful in God, who are walking with God. It's the way he tempts us. He tries to get us in a way that will cause us to forget the promises of God and to forget what God is doing. And so he goes on in verse 12, he says, they will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. And you will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample down. Hallelujah. Christ gives you victory. It was Jesus who conquered the serpent. The serpent is the deceiver from the Garden of Eden. It's that tie-in that God promised Eve that her offspring would conquer the serpent. Hallelujah. And you and I have the power to conquer the serpent. We can conquer the serpent, and we can even trample down, or we can stand against the young lion. The young lion is the one who's vibrant and strong. And there's a young lion seeking whom he may devour in the world today. He's going around and he is looking for ways to bring people down. And more importantly, there's a war against the people of God, against the children of God. And you and I must learn how to stand in the fullness of the Spirit of God, of the power of God, so that we can stand against the young lion and tread upon the head of the serpent. Because Satan is trying to get into your head. He's trying to get into your mind. He's trying to cause you to think in ways that are contrary to the will and the ways of God. Hallelujah. And so verse 14 says, because he has loved me, therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, this prayer is something that you and I can pray, isn't it? Oh, God has loved me. He has loved you. He has loved you, and therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. Oh, do you know the name of the Lord? Do you know the name of the Lord? I pray that you know the name of the Lord, that you know the word of the Lord and the manifestations of God. You have a relationship and you're communing with him. It says, he will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Hallelujah. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. Oh, this is a powerful passage in Psalm 91, starting out with how man only has 70 or 80 years if he's got strength. but certainly he's saying that God will sustain you with long life. God is the power and the ability to breathe life into us, to enable us when we operate according to the frequencies of God, in the ways of the Spirit of God. He says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Hallelujah. This is what God is doing in the life of those who are in the shadow of the Almighty, who are abiding in the shelter of God. God has a plan. His plan is to sustain you and keep you in this generation so that you can represent him. In fact, Proverbs 3:1-4 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching. Do, but let your heart keep my commandments." Oh, saints of God, we must learn how to apply biblical principles in our lives. He says, "For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you." If you apply these principles, your life will be sustained. It says, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Oh, saints of God, we talked about that a few weeks ago. Isn't that right? You have it on your head and you have it on your forehead of your arms. You have the workings of the Word of God and the Spirit of God at work even in the midst of us. So you will find favor and good repute. This is how you maintain the favor of God. You will find it coming to you again and again. Your reputation will be good in the wherever you are, in the midst of everyone, and the sight of God and men. That's what Jesus had. In Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations." Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, in every generation, in this generation, you and I can find the dwelling place of God. We can abide in him. He said, "Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Hallelujah. He is God, saints, and he is able to sustain us and to keep us from all of these things that are taking place in the world around us. All we need is to abide in the shelter of the Almighty. And finally, as we close, it says in verse 12, "For it is you who blesses the righteous man. O Lord, you surround him with favor as with a shield." Saints of God, God is there. He wants to surround you. All you need to do is step in. Step into the shelter. Come under the place of the shadow of the Almighty. Abide in God and allow him to lead you and guide you from the beginning of your day. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In the morning, arise and allow the Spirit of God to manifest himself in your life. Let the anointing of God come. Let the Spirit of God arise. Let the glory of the Lord manifest itself in all that we are doing. I pray that you know the favor of God is with you as a shield. I pray that you are experiencing the buffer of God and that his glory is continuously working in the midst of your life. All it takes is spending time with God, applying biblical principles in his word. You may not understand, you may not know, but God will show you. Maintain the shield of favor. Maintain the glory of God in your life, the manifestations of God in your life. Allow him to show you that he is real, to demonstrate his love and his righteousness over you, that you may know the power of God. You, my friend, have been marked with favor as you were born of the Spirit of God. He's your sole proprietor, and he is able to sustain you and to keep you no matter what the situations, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how things look. God is able to raise you up, and he is able to cause the stirring of the Spirit of God to breathe life into you, that the manifestations of God would be evident to the world that you are in and those around you. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, yes. Yeah. Power of God. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord is at work in the midst of you, that you know how to operate in the shelter, in the covering of God, in the place of divine protection. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to know the anointing of the Spirit of God. I pray that God reveals to you the Spirit of God, and that you are able to operate with the stirring of God's presence, with the stirring of God's anointing. You need to teach your children how to experience God, how to experience the anointing, how to move upon it. Lay hands on them, pray over them. You need to speak the words of life into them. Pray over your unsaved loved ones, whether it's a spouse or whether it is a coworker or a friend, but allow the breath of God's presence to be breathed upon the people in your life. You see, the mark of the Spirit of God, a mark of the kingdom of God, is the Spirit of God. Jesus said, if you don't have my Spirit, you don't belong to me. And that means you need to know the Spirit of God. The Spirit is not just someone we talk about, but it's someone we experience. You see, the Word gives us direction. The Father holds it all together, but it's the Spirit that empowers and enables us. And without the Spirit of God, you cannot live a successful Christian life. You need the anointing of the Spirit of God. And that's easy to kind of fluff through because this is the realm of the Spirit and you can't always see it. And so often people will talk about the Spirit and how spiritual they are, but you know they're not spiritual when times get rough and things get difficult and hard. They respond like somebody who doesn't know God at all. And that's how you know whether or not something or someone is operating in the right spirit. And as we operate in what we do, the Spirit of God draws, it pulls. The Spirit of God pulls in, pulls together, it unifies, it solidifies. And so anybody operating under the Spirit, it will find themselves being unified. They'll be being pulled in to where the Spirit of God is at work with the other people of God. It pulls in. That is what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. I will draw all men unto me. The things of the Spirit are natural in God. They cause to happen. The stirring of the Spirit, that is a work of the Spirit of God. It's like gravity. If you drop it, it just goes down. I tell you, if you abide in God, it'll start to stir. If you spend time with Him, if you commune with Him, if you worship Him, you're gonna start to feel the joy of the Lord stirring within you. If you go through your day as if there is no God, all you do is think, oh yeah, God, hi God, or help me God, or bless me God, and all these things that we say, all this surface religious stuff, that is not gonna help you. There is no power in that. The power is in the communing. It's in the abiding, in the abiding, in the abiding. When you commune with God, when you're focused on God, when your mind is on the Lord, when you're yielded and surrendered to God, God is able. And He will, He will, He will. It's a big W. He will, it will happen. It is as natural as breathing air, and the Spirit of God will come alive in you. And I can tell you, it's very obvious those who are operating in the presence and the Spirit of God and those who are not. And many people, you can see it on their faces, and you can certainly feel it as you interact with them. There is a discerning work of the Spirit of God's anointing that God's people have. And I can assure you, it's not just faith and just believing, but it's experiencing God. Your faith is what opens the door. The faith is what gives you direction. It's not until you step in that you demonstrate that you have faith. Hallelujah. You don't have faith if all you do is stand looking at it and saying it's there. We all know it's there. The question is, are you going to step into it? And if you step into it, then you will have the experience and the benefits of working and operating in the power and the presence of God. Oh, saints of God, if you can just get this, I pray it would change your life. It would change your life. It is the anointing that destroys yokes of bondage. And now more than ever, you need the anointing. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You need to pray for the anointing. God, give me the anointing. Worship team, God, give me the anointing. God, give me the anointing. God, fill me with your Spirit. God, empower me. Help me, God. Lift me up. Stir within me. You need the glory of God to be manifested in your life. This is what God is doing in the midst of his people. He will sustain you. He will enable you. And God will demonstrate that he is victorious. Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would be lifted up and exalted. Oh God, I know, Lord, the desire that you have for your people, that they would know you in the power of the resurrection, and that the glory of God would fill their hearts and minds, and that they would be strengthened and renewed, and that they would be able to overcome in these times of oppression and difficulty. And God, I pray that you would sustain your people as we abide in the shadow of the Almighty, that you would keep us from COVID and all kinds of other sicknesses and diseases, but that we would be able to operate in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Breathe on us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God, and may the Spirit of the Lord be with you and upon you and stirring within you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, and thank you for coming to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. Oh, yeah.